new counsel for the Rules Committee. Tom Bodden has agreed to step in and take over for Peter Watson. So very excited to have you, Tom. And so we lost some years of experience with Peter Watson, but we have, I think, a fantastic replacement, and we'll take it a little easy on you. All right, members, I think what we'll start with, what we've got today is some resolutions that we're going to bring to the floor so we can discuss those, and then we have a couple pieces of business that we do have to vote on here today. Colin, do you want to start? Should we start with
postage?
So, members, we don't need to vote on these resolutions, but we should talk about them, and then we'll be bringing them up from the floor. The first is a resolution on postage. And the postage, as you recall, was reduced last year to $27.50 per member with some additional some ability for the majority leader and the minority leader to have some additional stamps as well as committee chairs. And so we've not changed anything in this resolution. This resolution is the same as last year's postage. Any discussion?
Well, Madam Chair, you know, almost everything I get is email these days. And there's so few letters that I'm wondering why we need 2,750.
So thanks, Senator Lang. That was my point last year when I brought it down from 5,500. It's a great point. And, you know, we had that discussion. I'm open to further discussing it. But there was, you know, there was some pushback last year and there was some concern. But if members are finding it not to be an issue, you know, we can have that discussion. Senator Berglund.
No, not everyone has constituents that have computers and email. So I happen to come from one of those districts where people go to the library to use the internet occasionally. And so sometimes, you know, I get quite a bit of mail, snail mail still.
Thanks, Senator Berglund. Senator Bach?
Well, I just remember a postcard, and I don't normally respond to postcard campaigns, but I did get one from medical employees in Duluth one time, and the medical industry is really huge in Duluth. And I made a decision to respond to them, and they were postcards individually signed, and I think there was about 800 of them or something like that. I mean, it was a shoebox for them. So I can't think of another occasion where I actually responded to a postcard campaign, but I did on that one. I felt it was necessary. But I guess we just need to remind members that just because there's an allotment doesn't mean you have to take it.
Absolutely. That's a great point, Senator Bach.
Well, Madam Chair.
Senator Michelle.
Maybe on the floor we can at least mention to members that this is something we should meter and monitor, that over the course of the first quarter of session, are people using this allotment in any kind of way that makes $27.50 make sense? We just keep an eye on it and ask people to keep an eye on it, and I think different members in different districts will treat these stamps a little differently, and that's okay.
Senator Gerlach.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a quick question on the current practice is that the majority leader, in consultation with the minority leader, may authorize up to an additional 2,000 stamps for a member who justifies the need in writing. I remember when that was added, and I'm just wondering, in practice, did a single member ever request that at all? I know Senator Pogemiller isn't here, but maybe Senator Senjum might recall. It says in consultation, but I don't know that there was did any single member of the Senate that you're aware of request additional stamps through that provision?
Madam Chair, Senator Gerlach, I'm not recalling that to be the case. On the other hand, I may have myself for graduation letters and things like that, but I'm not aware. We can get that information, but I'm just not aware right now.
Well, Madam Chair,
Senator Gerlach.
The only reason I ask is because I remember that when we reduced the stamps, there was a concern that maybe someone might need them. And I'm just wondering if that has proven to be true or if that's even necessary. But
We can find out, Senator Gerlach, and I think it goes to the comments of Senator Michelle that it's something we need to monitor. And I mean, there was some concern last year when we cut it in half, but I don't think there's been a lot of pushback on that now. So I think if we continue to monitor it and if we see a need to reduce it further, we certainly can, or an ability to reduce it further without hindering some communication, as Senator Berglund pointed out. So, any other discussion on postage, members? All right, thank you. Interns? Next, we'll have a Senate resolution on intern reimbursement. This is exactly the same as it has been. We did not reduce or raise the intern rate. It is $75 per week during while the legislature is in session. Any discussion on this Senate resolution?
Lodging component.
Oh, that's Tom. Would you explain? There is one slight change to a lodging component, which I wasn't aware of.
Madam Chair and members, in the past, this same resolution has contained an authorization for, I think it's $400 a month for lodging for interns. That has been removed.
Any discussion?
Madam Chair or staff, do we know how many interns and clerks we have online for this coming session? Is that clear yet, just numerically, or?
I believe it's about 18.
Colin. 18. Mr. Barr?
I don't have that information, but we could call someone to the table who might.
Right, is there someone?
Including locker.
Wonderful.
Clerks.
Yeah, maybe 20. Mr. Magnuson?
Thank you, Madam Chair, Senators. My name is Scott Magnuson. I'm the Director of the Senate Information Office. I also coordinate the internship program. And I believe currently we have about 46 interns, but the stipend is based on the number of senators that have interns, and I think it's currently about 42, but we'll update you on that.
Thank you, Mr. Magnuson. Senator Bach.
Madam Chair, Mr. Magnuson.
Mr. Magnuson, come on back. Thank you.
Mr. Magnuson, in the past, how many of the interns have been eligible or taken the housing stipend? My concern is, Madam Chair, that we kind of make this de facto a metro program and that there's no opportunity for somebody who might live 100 miles away to be an intern in the state Senate. Mr. Magnuson?
Mr. Magnuson.
We normally have someone every 2 years or so on average. As a matter of fact, there is someone this year that had asked about that. I'm trying to think of. We do have one senator's intern that did inquire because they state that they will need to find a place to stay down in the Twin Cities area.
Senator Bach?
Madam Chair, if we're only talking about one person, why would we preempt? May likely preempt them the opportunity to do it. Just for the committee's discussion, I guess, if we're talking about $400 for the year. I mean, I'd hate to see that individual, whoever it is, make a decision that their family can't financially do it. It may be a life-changing experience for them if they have the opportunity.
Senator Bach, just for clarification, it's $400 a month for lodging, but Mr. Magnuson?
I was just going to state, I don't recall any year in which we've had more than one. It's normally, like I stated, once every 2 years or so that someone falls into that category.
Thank you. Well, Senator Bach, if we could have, I'm comfortable if the members are with adding that in. If it's not,
yeah.
You certainly don't want it to preclude one person from getting an internship, so. We will have that, what we'll have then, members, if that's all agreed to, we'll add that as part of the Senate resolution on the floor. All right. Any other discussion on interns? Thank you. Next up, Senate resolution on travel.
Travel.
Let's do travel. We had announced on Friday that we're going to be disallowing travel. This will be for 1 year out-of-state reimbursement. Obviously, this is a free state, and you may travel and reimburse or pay for it with campaign funds or out-of-pocket. But we as the Senate will not be reimbursing for out-of-state travel for the next year. And that is what the Senate resolution is a little confusing, and I can have Mr. Bodern speak to that because it only addresses in-state travel. Mr. Bodern?
Madam Chair and members, so this provides authorization for the committee or its chair to approve payment for attendance at meetings and seminars held within the state and for that reimbursement. But it does not provide any authorization for reimbursement for any travel to these meetings or seminars outside the state.
Any discussion?
Well, Madam Chair.
Senator Langseth.
Madam Chair, of course, the committee that I chaired was capital investment, and we, when we established that committee, we went around the state a lot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you put together several hundred million dollars, the amount of money that we spend going around the state is very, very minor. And does this affect that?
Senator Langseth, no, absolutely. This allows for the capital investment, acknowledging fully that they will have to do some travel throughout the state. No, absolutely. This will just be for out-of-state travel reimbursement. Out of Minnesota. Any other discussion? All right. Thank you, members.
Madam
that
Chair,
will be one.
Madam Chair,
oh,
question.
Senator Ortman.
If a member wanted to attend a national conference, a state legislature meeting, say, in Ohio, that would be excluded from reimbursement from the Senate, just so I understand what the meaning is. So,
Senator Ortman, that's correct. So if they want to attend NCSL or CSG in another state, they may attend, but they will not be reimbursed for this year from the state Senate.
Thank you.
Or, Madam Chair, that includes conference registration fees, everything.
Senator Bach, that's correct. Any further discussion or questions? Senator Senjum?
Madam Chair, not to get too nitty, but you just said, like, from the state Senate. It doesn't preclude, then, if there was money in any other account, LLC account or something like that.
Madam Chair. And,
Mr. Bodern.
Senator Senjum, that is correct. There may be other funds available. This committee's jurisdiction is limited to Senate funds, so that's how this would operate.
Okay. Senator Bach.
Well, Madam Chair, I'm a little less concerned about members, but I am a little concerned about not allowing our staff to attend educational-type seminars. I know there were some instances where I sent Senate counsel that worked for the Tax Committee to different nonpartisan training seminars that were very helpful to them. And I know they always came back and reported, you know, what the conference was about. I think we need to be careful that we don't put our nonpartisan staff, who we all count on around here a great deal, to not get the kind of training opportunities that might be available to them.
Senator Michelle.
I think what Senator Bach says is fair, but I also think we're just trying to reflect a really tight budget situation, a tough economy, and I mean, frankly, if we want to just hang on to those smart, experienced staff, we have to make budget maneuvers like this.
Senator Ortman.
Madam Chair, if I understood your comments before, this is a one-year measure only, and we can reconsider it, and we do something different for next year. It's a one-year measure only. Is that?
Senator Ortman, that's correct. These are for 1 year, these resolutions.
Thank you.
Senator Senjum?
Madam Chair, does it say that, or is it implied, or should we note that in the resolution?
Mr. Bodern.
Madam Chair and Senator Senjum, if it would give you comfort, we can certainly add language that says for the 2011 session of the 87th legislature, comma, members of a standing committee, et cetera. I can take that instruction.
Madam Chair, I would so move if we need that, or maybe it's just consensus.
All right. Any discussion? All right. Well, then we'll just, if everyone's agreed, we'll just make those changes then before it reaches the floor. I don't think we need a motion, correct?
Correct.
Correct. Staff is instructed to make the change to add for the 2011 session. Any further discussion? Thank you, members. Mileage? The next Senate resolution, and just as a process, we will be taking this resolution up and then laying it on the table. This is the mileage that each member is reimbursed, and we want to give some time for members to review the mileage and make changes to fiscal if necessary. So this resolution will not be voted on today, but will be introduced and then laid on the table. Any discussion on the mileage resolution? Senator Michelle?
Just a point probably for you and for Senator Bogg is just verbally remind the members today, check your mileage.
Yes.
The next week, and especially the new members.
Thank you, Senator Michelle. And we will give everyone, we'll take this up the next Monday, and we'll make that clear to give them the week plus the weekend. So if they're traveling home, they can check the odometer on the weekend and make certain the mileage is correct.
Madam Chair, over the years, the different vehicles I've made the different. Same trip and have vehicles show up the 10 miles difference.
Tire pressure, Senator Bacher. I don't
maybe,
know what that is.
Maybe, I don't know.
Oh, thank you. Any further discussion on the Senate mileage?
Part of yours by vote.
All right. Thank you, members. Let's take the concurrent resolution. All right, members, there will also be a concurrent resolution, and this allows for, because we have to go longer than 3 days to break for the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday, so we will have a Senate concurrent resolution. So even though we are going to meet on Thursday, we'll pass this today to make sure we have time to get it back from the House. And so this will allow for the break for the MLK holiday. Any discussions on the concurrent resolution?
And Madam Chair,
Senator Michelle.
The intent is to we will hold Senate sessions, floor sessions on Tuesday and Thursday of next week.
Thank you, Senator Michelle. That's correct. Tuesday and Thursday of next week, then, for floor. Any discussion? Wonderful. All right. So that, I believe, is the resolutions that we will see on the floor. We now have two pieces of business that we need to discuss. We have a committee resolution. Senator St. John?
Per diem, and are we going to deal with that?
That's actually the piece that we are going to do next, Senator Bach. Thank you. That's actually going to be voted on here in committee. It's committee resolution regarding reimbursement on our expenses. Wonderful. We have a new draft we'd like to distribute, members. Just one change. Get that handed out. Right, and do you want to just describe overall the resolution, or would you like me to? First of all, the first of the resolution you'll see is reimbursement for mileage. This is 51 cents. This has increased 1 penny from last year. This is based on federal rates. The new resolution, we had taken out a reimbursement for aircraft, but Senator Bach brought up some good points, and so we've just inserted that. We don't have a lot of members. In fact, I don't know the last time a member took reimbursement for aircraft, but we'd like to leave it in there just for comfort. Second piece is a reduction in per diem. It's a 10% reduction. It's $10 a day. We will be reducing the per diem to $86. The third portion is lodging. That remains the same, $1,200 a month. That has not changed. The fourth piece of the resolution is telecom reimbursement, which is also not increased or decreased. It's at $125 a month. And the rest is just language for reimbursement purposes. So it's the four pieces. It's the mileage, per diem, lodging, and telecom. Any discussion? Senator Bach.
Madam Chair, on line 1.20, shall be reimbursed for $125 for actual expenses. I think I was one of the last members of the Senate that fiscal convinced to actually take it as a taxable item rather than provide the receipts. And I just did that here not too many months ago, but apparently most members decide to pay the taxes on it rather than receipt it. And I think if that's, and it doesn't matter to me either way, except that I don't think this will allow for that. So I don't know if there's been a change here or if fiscal is doing something that's a little outside of what the current resolution is.
Good question. Mr. Bonner?
Madam Chair and Senator Bach, I think this is worded identically to the last committee resolution and Senate resolution that authorized these expenses. We may want to clarify it with Senate Fiscal Services.
Fiscal? Ms. Lenzer?
Madam Chair and members, as far as the $125 goes, it's a year-round expense. It is taxable to 37 of our members choose not to receipt for the telecommunications, and this is the exact language we had last year.
Oh, exact language. Senator Ortman.
Madam Chair, with that said, though, I think that word actual on line 1.20 suggests otherwise, and I think we should remove the word actual because the intent is so that members don't have to receipt and submit and be subject to audit. So I would move that we remove the word actual from line 1.20.
So Senator Ortman has moved on 1.20 to remove the word actual. So this will allow comfort then that we can either be taxed or not. Ms. Lenzer, any thoughts?
That is correct. I mean, we have, like I said, 37 members who choose that. I think when we looked at that wording as far as actual, we were looking at when the member would do their taxes and they would have to produce their estimates and their bills at that time for their tax prepares.
Discussion? Well, all right. Well, then Senator Ortman has moved to remove the word actual. For the discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Thank you. Any further discussion on the committee resolution before us? Senator Langston.
Madam Chair, I think it's, you know, very confusing to the public when it comes to our compensation. I think Senator Becky Laurie, when she left the Senate, made a very good statement. When she was asked about it, she said, I don't think it should be so high that it's why people run or why they stay, but it should not be so low that many can't serve. Now, one of the comments, I've had many people in and out of my office over the years, and some of them seem to be intensely interested in the legislature. I've just asked them if they consider running. Number one comment is, I can't stand the $20,000 or $30,000 cut in pay. And so that does concern me. When we raised the per diem 4 years ago, it's a matter of public record in this committee and on the floor, it was very much a bipartisan agreement. And I'm not going to go into detail on that, but that is a fact, even though the rhetoric didn't really bear that out. But I think, you know, obviously this is going to happen, and I understand that it seems to be saying that we're going to accept some pain along with it. But I believe, think I'm right, that through this two-year period now, it'll be one increase in salary in 16 years. And I've had people say, why doesn't the legislature set an example? Well, we have, and nobody follows it. So I think if you put the per diem and the salary together, you'd find that the purchasing power of a legislator's compensation is down considerably from what it was. So I'm a little concerned about, you know, what Senator Laurie talked about, many people not able to serve. I think we're kind of playing into that. And I know the politics of it big time. I've been here a long time, and I've been hit many times on that issue. But I think while it may seem quite noble that we take a cut, I think you have to stop to think about what you want the legislature to be in the future, and it should allow all different types of people in different situations to serve. And I'm a little concerned because of the politics of this compensation. Well, ever since I've been here for 36 years, I think it is very, very difficult, well, in many cases impossible, for many people who would like to serve to serve. And I just bring that up. I know this is going to pass, and I understand the reason for it, but I kind of think that going back to Senator Laurie's comments, we are on the low end of it, and there are so many people that can't serve.
Thank you, Senator Langsess. Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and to Senator Langsess' point, I served on a commission several years ago that recommended an increase in the salary for legislators. It was a unanimous recommendation, but the politics and the timing of raising salaries was very difficult. But I would say that that's all the more reason to look at the per diem and scrutinize that amount, because it's misleading to the public. If we think that that's the compensation, I think we're on the wrong course. That shouldn't be our compensation, and we shouldn't be looking at per diem to compensate us. It should be to reimburse expenses for service. And I think that's the kind of transparency Minnesotans really want, and it will help us have a positive dialogue, I hope, when it comes to the actual salary of serving in the legislature. But I think this is a move in the right direction, because people have questions about our expenses and the per diems, and it doesn't look right. It doesn't really portray the difficulties that many senators and House members face in meeting the salary requirements for their family and serving here as well. So I think we should focus on that salary if we want to increase the salary and not so much on the per diem.
Madam Chair.
Well, Madam Chair.
Senator Langseth, then Senator Michelle.
Senator Chair, I was on the commission as well, and I think it was a very good recommendation, but I also know that it doesn't happen. And that's why I think we have done some things on the per diem. And I really think it is much better to raise the salary to a more adequate level and not rely on the. I think some per diem is fine because it costs quite a bit of money to live around this place. But I think you're right in that it should be the salary that we deal with, and we aren't going to. We just aren't going to.
Senator Michelle.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I appreciate Senator Langseth's comments and Senator Ortman's. I would move the committee resolution 001-1 and also state to members. I appreciate the tone that you've set as a majority leader on the per diem issue. You know, this is not going to balance the budget. This is mostly symbolic. But the first moves of a state senate are important, and symbolism is important. And what I've heard pretty strongly from some of our members is that they think this is a part-time legislature. That's what the Constitution calls for. And that it's an honor to serve, and that in tough budget times, we've got to do some things like this. So, again, I just appreciate the tone you've set, Senator Koch, and I think this is a good way to handle it.
Madam Chair.
Senator Bach.
Madam Chair, let me just reinforce what Senator Langseth said relative to salaries, because I think the public has some perceptions of what we're paid that are grossly inaccurate. I mean, when I was elected in 1994, the salary was $29,000 and some change. In 95, we passed a 5% increase. That is the only increase we've had in my 17 years here, 1 5% increase. So I just think I think the public doesn't understand that. Now, maybe, Senator Michelle, $31,000 is the right number for a part-time job, but my concern is it is getting harder and harder to manage an occupation outside of this place. And there are fewer and fewer employers that are willing to let their employees have the kind of flexibility it takes to be a member of the legislature. And I do think Senator Langseth has a point there that somebody had a bill for a constitutional amendment once to let the Compensation Council actually set the salaries and take it out of the hands of the legislature. Maybe that's something that should be considered. But I think something has to be considered, because by the time this term is up, it'll then be 18 years I have been here with 1 5% pay increase. I think most people in this room probably think that's a little unreasonable. But at the same time, I think the public's perception is different than that. I just think we all need to think about that. I don't object to the resolution. I understand, and I agree with Senator Michelle. I think it's largely symbolic. In fact, not largely, it is. But I do have a question on if in the past the in-district constituent-type mileage was in this resolution, or is that handled somewhere else? Because I don't see it here. During the interim.
Madam Chair, and Senator Buck. Yeah, I believe that's handled in the closing resolution. It has been handled somewhere else, in other words.
Okay.
Senator Langseth?
I would just like to, Madam Chair, point out to the public the salary is $31,140, not 100 and some thousand, which many, whenever Congress raises along parade routes, hear people say, well, what are you doing with your 160,000? You know, well, yeah. I don't even think it should be that high.
Thank you, Senator Langsa. Any further discussion on Committee Resolution 001? Then Senator Michelle moves Committee Resolution 001 as amended. All in favor?
Aye.
And opposed? Resolution passes. Final piece of business is the staff roster. And we have a copy for members in their packets. There is obviously a great deal of changes in the committee roster, so you can take some time to look at this, and staff can answer any questions.
Madam Chair,
Senator Bach?
Is this the complete roster, or are there positions yet that haven't been filled that aren't on here?
Senator Bach, my understanding is the partisan positions have all been filled. We have postings for a few nonpartisan positions, and we may have, you know, some turnover in between, but right now this reflects an almost complete roster.
And Madam Chair, the number of FTEs that's contained in this?
Senator Bach.
Do I have Mr. Boomhauer address?
Well, let's Mr. Boomhauer. All right. Mr. Boomhauer, address the FTE question. Good morning, Mr. Boomhauer.
For members of the committee, my name is Dan Boomhauer, Director of Human Resources. This roster is complete with the exception of seven open positions.
And Mr. Boomhauer, can you address how many FTEs are reflected in the roster? Senator Bach?
Yes, sir. It would be 203 full-time positions.
Senator Berglund?
Is the position being vacated by Mr. Giel being filled?
Mr. Boomhauer?
Madam Chair, it's my understanding that approval has been given to fill that position.
Thank you.
Senator Bach?
Madam Chair, Mr. Boomhauer, does the 203 FTEs include the seven still to be hired, or are they in addition to 203?
That includes the seven that need to be filled.
Further questions on the roster? Senator Sinjum.
Madam Chair, and perhaps to Mr. Boomhauer, where we have difference in salaries for a specific job. Wait a minute, no, I'm sorry. Well, as for instance, committee administrator one versus committee administrator two, both I'm aware are new employees. How do you get a one and a two?
Mr. Boomhauer?
Madam Chair, Senator Sinjum, generally most committee administrators start out at a committee one level, and it's a seniority-based process to get to the committee two.
Senator Sinjum, Mr. Sheehan has some.
Yeah, I think experience outside of your work experience as well.
Okay, Madam Chair, so that was...
Senator Sinjum.
So it's just an assessment of work experience and a decision. So is that what it is?
Correct.
Okay. And time in the Senate.
Yes.
So further discussion. Senator Bach.
Where does this then go? Does this get ratified by the floor, or does the Rules Committee essentially...
Senator Bach, the Rules Committee would approve it. The Rules Committee would approve it today, ideally. Payroll has to get some of these numbers, and then it would stay here in the committee.
So, Madam Chair, you don't anticipate talking about this again?
Senator Bach?
Because if you don't, I have one more question.
Please.
And that's for Mr. Boomhauer, I think. Madam Chair, Mr. Boomhauer, how does the 203 FTEs contained in this roster compare with end of session of the 86th legislature?
Madam Chair, Senator Bach, I don't have numbers going back to 86. I do have numbers going back to 1995.
Well, Madam Chair, I mean the 86th legislature. This is the 87th, I believe,
okay.
Right? I'm just wondering what we had at the, I don't know, about at the end of the year or at the end of session, or what is the number kind of for the last fiscal year?
Sure, sure. Last year we had 203 full-time people.
So, thank you. And Senator Bach, we will be seeing the roster again as we hire those additional seven. We'll see the roster again. We'll have to approve those. So,
Madam Chair.
Senator Michelle.
I think it's important to take the opportunity here to also say thank you to staff that have been through 60 days of a lot of change and a lot of transition. And I personally want to thank Senator Bach, also Senator Pogemiller, for all their work during this sprint, which included two holidays and of course, the physical changes of offices. But a lot of work went into this and the interviews and hiring. So I think we've done a pretty good job, but keeping it classy and respectful, Senator Bach, and appreciate your help in making that happen.
All right, Senator Gerlach.
Madam Chair, I'll go ahead and move the Senate roster.
All right. Thank you, Senator Gerlach. Any further discussion? All right, if not, all in favor of adopting the roster, say aye.
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 And opposed? Roster is adopted, and I believe that completes our business. All right, so committee is adjourned.
It wasn't so hard.